Do you? How do you want to see him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Amen and amen. You want to see him? Just look into his word. You'll find him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Just remember those that are traveling back. I know you've done prayed for them, but traveling back from the youth camp, keep them in your prayers and all to get a safe journey home. And remember now, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. And then that Brother Quinn will be here, the Lord willing, for the weekend to preach for us. So just keep these in your prayers, and the Lord would be with each one. Let's turn back where we were reading in Ephesians, and we'll try to continue on what we were doing this morning and move right on into the message. So remember that. Remember, Moashi's still got a few more tests and things to go through to get everything cleared up. The Lord will take care of everything because we believe it. And just Ephesians 1. Father, we thank you most of all because you are our Father. That way then we know who truly we are. And as the prophet said there, that he was no longer the son of Charles and Ella Branham, he wasn't denying his mother and father. He had just come to realize who he really was and what was taking place. So we just ask you now to help us here to understand and let that understanding come to our hearts and our lives. Forgive our sins as we read your word, Lord. You come and speak to us. The biggest sin that we need to be forgiven of is in any way that we would try to put our thoughts or ideas into your word and to change it to fit something we think. We love you and we thank you and just have your way now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. We've read this enough till everybody ought to be able to quote it by memory, I guess. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where? In Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. If somebody would give out these are the ones in case somebody didn't get one this morning, you know, our thing. But I hope you understood what I was trying to get across this morning. And as I've always said to you, I don't ask anybody to believe what I say. Not my wife, not my children, or anybody. I ask you to take what is being said and, go home and pray for God to reveal it to you, because I cannot reveal it. And that way then, it's up to the Lord to reveal his word. But I'm not concerned, because it will be revealed to those that it's supposed to be, and to those that it's not supposed to be revealed to, it will not. And I didn't make that choosing. Rabbi Richman, I believe, was the one that made a statement that was outstanding on those videos that he made. He said, you know, we didn't choose to be the people of God, talking about Israel. He said, we didn't choose to be that. He said, he chose us. Well, now, I want you to get this locked into your mind this afternoon. Did Jesus choose to be God? Or was he God? No. Did John the Baptist choose to be the forerunner of the Messiah? Did Moses choose to, you know, be the one to deliver the children of Israel? Or was that foreordained for somebody to be, and that those people wound up being that? Now remember and keep in your mind that we're trying to use a point, as I said, that we are time creatures trying to understand an eternal situation. And that's where the trouble's at. See, that's what makes it, go wrong, that we are trying to comprehend. And to do that, we must first start with this thing we call the mind, the brain, the mind, you know. And naturally, that's where Satan battles at, is in the mind. If there was some way to take my thoughts and transmit them straight into your inner being of, say, the soul of the person, then you wouldn't have any trouble comprehending what I'm trying to say. And see, that's the way it's always been. You know, God has always had to deal with the carnal mind of man. That's why he said it is the enmity there in Genesis right off, you know. Enmity, which means division. The carnal mind has always been division. It's never been, it runs. That's why the imagination of man's mind or heart or whatever you read in Genesis is continually evil. And it's always been that way because that's Satan's approach. It's through that. But see, God has to approach the same way. And don't ask me how he gets through to speak to us. You know, because we're born doubters, right? I mean, that's just our makeup. We're born skeptic, afraid. Brother Brown said it's hard to get one man to believe another man. That's just normal. That's because that's the part of it. But, you know, if we could ever get, and I believe that one day when this is over with, I don't believe we will just use a thought transmit to each other, you know, in heaven. I believe we'll talk, but it will be on the scale of thought transmitting, because that way you won't misunderstand, as we were using the other day, that Jesus said to Peter or some of them, you know, what is it to thee if John abides till I come? And a saying went out from them, not from everybody else, from among the disciples, that John wasn't going to die. So John in his writings, he said, how be it? He didn't say that. He said, what is it if he does? See, and we try to comprehend. So the only thing that I ask you to do is listen. And then go back and listen over to the tapes again, and, you know, and make sure that you get my point of what I'm trying to say to you. All right? Because there's no need of me speaking. I'd let you speak. I mean, we'll get somebody else to speak if you're not going to listen to what I'm trying to say, you know, on that basis. But, you know, I have a thought in mind and a hard way to get to the thought. Because you can say, well, just go ahead and say it. Okay, I'll say it. We were chosen in him. What does that mean? As I said this morning, what does that mean to the human mind? The human mind will translate that through the conscience and subconsciousness of the human being, and we will come out to the basis of saying we were chosen by him. See? And then we will try to divide or understand or try to, you know, to separate, well, why did he choose, or what did he choose, or who did he choose, or how was it done? See, we'll get all of that involved, and then, you know, we won't have the right understanding and just saying what the Bible says. Yeah, I have a lot of questions wrote down here on the back of this, if I can get to them after a while. I love questions myself. You know, I'll put it like this. When were we chosen? We were chosen in Him. When was He chosen? And who done the choosing? Because if we were chosen, that means somebody chose, right? Sensible? Somebody chose, or it wouldn't have said that we were chosen in Him. Well, who's the Him? And what's it talking about? See, we got a lot of things to do and a long way to go, and you just forgive me. All right. We covered this morning just a little bit, and I want to say just a word to where that'll keep us into the line. I believe the stage we are at now in the adoption is in the stage of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. All right. And in that is to try to make God known, because manifest is the word to be made known. So, you know, we try to make Him known through speaking to you, then He will make us known by whatever He desires to. The signs and wonders or whatever takes place, it will be what He wants us to be. And, you know, we're in the place of trying to get our understanding open to the Scriptures to where that God can reveal that. And I keep referring back to the disciples. See, He opened their understanding of the Scriptures. That didn't give them eternal life. It was opening them to see that what He was going to do and had been doing and was taking place, that was what was open. All right, but then on the day of Pentecost, that was opened, and the Bible would say then that even, you know, let's see, He bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I said and teach you things to come. And Brother Brown said He not only opened their understanding of what He had said to them, right? He opened their understanding of things to come. All right, John goes to Patmos. John gets the future. John goes, see, if you're dealing with nothing but John, still, it does go through that he does even teach more things than what he was actually teaching himself. All right. Because what I want is the Word to be alive. And, you know, for Him to make it alive to us, and then in doing that, then we won't have to worry about anything else, is the revealed Word. Okay. Now let's try to pick back up where we were this morning. And we ended up talking about the little drawing that I made to give us a comprehension of my point of what I was trying to make. And, you know, this is on the internet system, and I don't know how to put it up here to where we could get a, you know, a doing on this. I don't know, but we'll read it off. But to get it on the video part to where, if you would, take it and hold it kind of in front of it and let it, you know, and give people a chance to read and see that. Well, I'll just hold it up and let them see that we did make a point. All right. I hope it gets on the video, clear it up enough to. There's some things on each side of it, and then when you do, you could back it up on your computer and see what it is, or your internet system. We made a little drawing to show that there were things that we put down eternity, and then put a space in the middle with lines calling it a beginning. And then we come over into what is time. All right. Now, in that, we talked about what was back in eternity. We'll try to pick that part up right there and start with it. We find that He was Elohim, self-existing. Before there was a moon, stars, whatever, anything, He was self-existing. All right? And in Him were attributes. And those attributes were His thoughts. Yeah. And as I gave you this morning, a quote there where Brother Brown called it, even his nature, of what he is, And in him was attributes to be a savior, to be a healer, to be all of those things. And Brother Brown said, and we see those things displayed, but my point has always been to you, he never gained attributes by coming here. Time never made another attribute of God. Time only displayed those attributes of healer, savior, deliverer, etc. That's when we got over into what we call the time belt of doing. And, but we look back and we've seen that there was, that God had foreknowledge. All right, we covered, and don't forget, I still believe what I believe about predestination. What I taught, I believe that he predestinated by foreknowledge. So foreknowledge was first. And foreknowledge is knowledge of what we're doing here. That's foreknowledge. So he knew, or else he's not God. He'd be like us. He knew what we would do, every gnat that would bat its eye, and how much talent it would make, all of those things we could go through to prove the point that you ought to be able to believe it. And then by his foreknowledge, he could predestinate. So then he would be doing that. Now these are the words that's a part of him back there. See, attributes, foreknowledge, predestination is back there. And he could stand back there and look all the way through and see every day, every time of what it would be upon earth. And he could predetermine then what everything would be. And he would predetermine it by looking at what we would accept or what we would do. So that way he's not a respecter of persons, and you can't condemn him, of saying that he never gave you a choice. All right. But then we got down to the point here of talking about, being chosen in him. Let's cover these others a little bit before we get back to that. It's easy for us to comprehend because of Revelations 13:8, that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, Then we would have to come over here into life, and we would appear, and then, we would come to a realization about our name being written in the book of life while we're over here in time. All right? So then your name would become on the book. And Brother Branham actually says your name goes on the book at sanctification. See? So there's a lot about those things that we need to understand. All right? We talk about justification. Now, justification is the word that we start off with, that it's repentance for what you do, and God chops off your past. Then the next is the part that, it says, though you never done it, which means you done it, but it was wiped slate clean, everything was made. And then you come to the place that the real you never did do it. Now, there's justification. It was back there. The real you never sinned. He said, now wait a minute, they did in the garden. I didn't say that. I said the real you. The garden is over here in time, over here on this side. These are the things that are back there. In Job, we read about the sons of God, morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. And we know that the prophet said that was when they saw the plan of redemption coming into view. But we don't believe in being people standing back there, choosing and whatsoever. So it was in his mind. All right? Now, we think of that point, and we hold that, and that's fine. But he did ask the question. He asked Job. He said, explain it to me. In other words, paraphrasing it, all right? He said, Job, would you mind explaining to me where you were and what was going on and how I done what I done? Please explain it. Well, see, Brother Brown said, all mankind has tried to find that answer. See? Or where were you when this took place? Right? See, I believe by what we're talking about now, we can see that not only do we have the revealed word, which is the prophet said, we have the devil's answer. The devil's answer is the revealed word. Amen. That is what will conquer him. See, all right? But we have the answer of to Job, where were we? If we'll get it in the right order. You believe in pre-existence, Brother Dale? I believe in pre-existence of Almighty God, but not of mortal human people, because that would be the Mormon doctrine of pre-existence, even if you went back and said pre-existence of souls and things like that. All right. Now, on this other side, back in eternity, we know that the seed, our word of God, come from God, predestinated eternally. The prophet said it's not the person, see, the human, that become predestinated eternally. See, that's by foreknowledge. But he said the word, our seed, come predestinated eternally from God. All right? Now, as I asked the question a moment ago, did Jesus choose to be God to fulfill the word, or was he God? Our minds will say he was God, and then our conscience will say he chose something. See? There was going to be a forerunner, as I said, of John the Baptist. Now, I gave you these quotes, or the message I gave you today. There was going to be a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, predestinated, foreordained, eternal in the word, that said he would come. So somebody had to be that. Yeah. Did they have a choice? Now, over here in the life that we're living, it says to Brother Branham, Danny Henry, Tongues Interpretation, because of the choice that you made, which is my choice, a great portion of heaven awaits for you. So over here in time, we have something to do with it. Who was it? Jonah. Let me get my stories right. Jonah, he got all upset when he went over and told them that he was going to destroy that place, and God didn't destroy it. And he sits down over there, and boy, he has him a pity party, as we call it, because he was all upset at God. But God had to come down and straighten the old boy out just a little bit. Show him a few things. And when he got him straightened out, he could see that that was God's predestinated eternal plan. Somebody had to do it. Jonah was the one that was used to do it. So don't never forget, as I was trying to explain this morning, we'll get back to it in a minute, we do have something to do with life on this side. Even though he has chosen us, we must choose him. The prophet never done away with those things. See, that's what we're trying in our mind to do. All right. Brother Branham, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, 1617, right in there. He said, God had a plan. And a purpose. He said, and he was going to see it achieved. In other words, there wasn't no way to change it. It was the plan. He had a purpose to unveil himself for us to understand him. See, then All of these things that we talk about, sure, they were back there, but they relate over into here. We say that, and we'll get back to it later in another message, but those who justified, he's already glorified. All right? That's already done. That was done back in eternity. But we must come down in life and come through the existence of life. And then in the existence of life, then we realize what glorification is talking about. And then we can come to a place to be changed. So don't ever forget the message I preached 20 years ago, I guess. Brother Ray probably gave you the dates on it, but I called it a series called Matching Pieces. All right? And because he's taking them off and putting them back into to tape form we can use here. And see, Matching Pieces to me was that whatever was in heaven in God's mind must come to a situation upon earth to be that. See? And when God saw that the just shall live by faith was going to strike the world, the message, he had Martin Luther ready to bring the message. See? Because that would be the Matching Pieces. And when you and I come to the place that all of these, this word is revealed, as we were talking about this morning, the fully matured word, when it's finished, then we've got to leave. There's nowhere else to go. See? All right. Now, I want to get into this then of chosen in him. And I want to just keep that thought. How could he choose you without being a respecter of persons? All right? How can God choose you, me, you know, we're talking us. I like that, us, you know. How could he choose us without being a respecter of persons? Because that's been the argument of predestination over mankind, you know. All right. Now, we can try to fathom it, and it's good, and don't throw it away, because it's still part of the Bible, that we can look at it as a foreknowledge point, that he sees what choice you'll make, and then he can predestinate according to the choice you make. Well, that's, now don't lose that. That's still good. But were we chosen in him? Or by him? If we were chosen by him, then he's a respecter of persons. Okay? So we, you know, we're going through the process of elimination. All right. Get rid of that one. You know, your multiple choice, your kids take them school, you know, and you got a question that's got four answers. Well, there's two of them ain't worth nothing. They ain't even close to nothing. So you just X them two out and forget them. Don't even think about them. Right. So then you got two and you got a choice between, and you got to decide from that. Right. Now, if we say that he chose me because he seen that I would choose him. Is that where our mind's locked? Okay, click it. Because if we do that, then it would be our choice. It would not be his choice. Well, no, you don't understand, Brother Dale. He chose me because I chose him. How are you going to put it in there? All right. I gave you a quote. Okay, where is it? Let's see, the one on today's. If I can find my quotes. I wasn't going to use too many, but look at the bottom of the page of the notes that I gave to you. It's off the message, Jehovah Jireh, number 1, 1964, 402. Paragraph E11 and 2. Listen, while I'm telling you, I'm going to start doing it because it's such a headache between, in other words, Joe and them. I've told you before, they have to use the 2010 version of the Message to make the computer systems run correct. All right. We're using the 99 version, okay? This is copied off as of what you call a 99 version, okay? The other will show you little things on the side. It's a 2010 version. And the Lord willing, I'm going to start using that. And 99% of the time, it will be identical. But there is rare occasions that they change the paragraph systems, and they change the, they'll put it up in another paragraph, make different paragraphs out of it, and things like that. If I have to have a problem and I think there's a question about it, I'll give you both versions. All right? But I will be switching over to the 2010 version because it saves them trouble. When Brother Joe was gone, I tried to help, and Bob back there laughing because he spent the whole service the Sunday that he done it transferring it over to be able to put it on the internet. Okay. So we will be switching over to the new version and using that. But if there's any differential part, I'll try to bring it to you and use it that way. You know, if I can remember. Now we'll have to change the system in the office because it's still on the old. All right, I wanted to explain that in case when I come up with something. But see, on this watch, E11, Jehovah Jireh, 1964. But one day God called him. That's what made the difference when God made the call. And that's the way it is to any life. It takes God. It isn't what you do. It's what God does. See, you say, I sought God, I sought God. You're mistaken. No man seeks God. God seeks the man. See, it's not you seeking God, it's God seeking you. Jesus said, you haven't chose me. That's John, 10:20? Is that what it is? I believe that's right. It's in John. You haven't chose me, but I chose you, see. So you're chose before the foundation of the world, or you wasn't chose at all. All right? He just come to redeem that name. Now we get into that redeem one of these days too. And all whose names were not on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world is the all, and all whose names were not on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world is the only ones going to be there anyhow. Now you transfer that back over in your mind. I was reading, I double read it. See, in other words, he's saying if your name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life, it won't be there because he goes on and says it. But he's saying it because the literal words out of his mouth is saying life before the foundation of the world is the only ones going to be there anyhow. It looks like you could make him say right there that if your name wasn't in the book, the only one's going to be there. But that's not what he's saying, so you know that, okay? You were chosen him before the foundation of the world. When the Lamb was chosen, you were chosen with him before the foundation. Wait a minute when we get the word back to end, and we won't have any trouble because the word with is in John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Trinitarians use that to show that there's two. But that's incorrect. The word with is perfect. So is it here, before the foundation of the world. You're, as I said last night, now listen to what I'm saying. And you're, as I said last night, an attribute of God's thinking. Now listen to this. That's the only way you can be eternal and only form of eternal life. See, and that's God's. Okay. Now, I want to know a little, I want to ask you some questions. How many gods you believe? One true and living God, right? many forms, right? Many ways of manifesting himself. But only one God. The Father's not one God, the Son one God, and the Holy Ghost one God, you know, three. And it's not the great mystery of the God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. All right, how many gods you believe in? One true and living God. All right, so what we're going through here this afternoon, if that doesn't hold true, you come tell me either service. Because we got to keep that straight to understand some things. Now, listen, the Bible said we were chosen in Him. Question number one, who done the choosing? We were chosen in Him. So somebody chose us in Him. Right? I mean, is that sensible? We were chosen in Him. So somebody chose us in Him. All right? Now, question number two, or thought number to go with that. How can it be that He doesn't have respect of persons? Ever who this is that done the choosing? All right? Now, question number two. Who's the Him? Right? We were chosen in Him. So if we were chosen in Him, who's the Him? I like to ask questions. I love questions. So, without believing in a Trinitarian concept or thought, how are we going to be able to comprehend this scripture? That somebody done some choosing. Right? And Jesus simply said, "You never chose me. I chose you." Right? Jeremiah, "I knew you and ordained you a prophet before the world." Now we're going to comprehend then the statement that we've dangled around, play with a little, that gifts and callings are without repentance. Did you repent to get a gift? Or did you just get a gift? You didn't repent to get a gift because the Bible would be wrong. See, then if you're listening and would look at the quotes I gave you along with these, the quote we read, you'll see that John the Baptist had nothing to do with it. Because he was a gift. He was a fulfillment of Isaiah, 42? That he'd have to stand and introduce the Messiah. That the Bible had already said there was going to be a deliverer to come down to deliver the children of Israel. And God goes out and says, "Moses, you're the one. I've gifted you." Now, who delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses? No. The gift. The God. "I'll be with you. I'll be in you." They won't be able to stand. So the gift is eternal. That didn't make John eternal. That didn't make Moses eternal. Made the gift eternal. All right? Now, so let's get into the Godhead just a little, because I said that's the first part we had there in verse 3 would be on the Godhead. then somebody had to do some choosing. Because we were chosen in Him. Now, listen to the wording, so, and forgive me, I don't have enough education, I'm sorry. So there had to be some way that somebody chose Him. I gave you a quote there that Brother Branham said, God chose him and said we were chosen in Him. Okay? God chose him and we were chosen in Him. All right? Now, we've got to go back and understand the Godhead and get it clear. I love the way Brother Branham would say it because it's hard for the human mind to comprehend it, but it sure does sound good. He said, in the beginning, before the eternal. Now, use your human mind there to try to figure that one out. In the beginning, before. So you see why I put beginning in the middle. All right? Now, Peggy, Nanny, you're going to have to help me. If I get to go and read it, you say, wait a minute, click over and tell them this now, okay? I don't have no problems with that. All right? But there's not three gods. We don't even entertain the thought. But there are many, many manifestations of Almighty God. He manifested Himself as a Father. He manifested Himself as a Son. He manifests Himself now as a Holy Spirit. Right? But it's the same God, right? What did He do? Amorphe changed His form. Now, I'll go ahead and give you a key if you listen. I thought we believed in Lula, maybe not everywhere else, but that we're the last amorphe. The bride is the last amorphe of God. So we're not out of the scriptures, we're still right in the middle of it. Okay. But how did, and forgive me because you got to use human words, how did God choose Christ? Was he two or three of them? You know. And he says, you. Or is it like the denomination says, the Son came up because they believe co-equal, co-eternal. See? You know, we don't believe that because that wouldn't be sensible. But as they say, the Son came up and said, Father, let me go down. Now, we don't believe that, do we? All right, we believe what the prophet said. The prophet said you wouldn't do that with your own kids. He said, so then it was necessary that Almighty God come down to earth to pay the price. Said he never sent a son. He came himself. Right. See, he came himself. All right. So then, look at it as being, watch the choosing now. It's not that he chose one to do. Listen. He chose the way it would be done. Now you see the choice? God chose the way that this would take place. And if he chose it, there is no other way. I don't care what our peanut brain tries to figure out that we could do a better job of it. No, it can't be done, so forget it. You know, if I'd have been back there to help him, well, where was you when they laid the foundation of the world? But you see, it's not what we look at choosing. I choose this piece of paper over this piece of paper. I made a choice. See, that's what we're looking at of the word choice or choosing. God chose to step over in another form, to be known as Logos, Theophany, Word, Son. Are you with me? He chose to step over in another form. Not another God. Another form. Another way to reveal himself. So he chose the way he was going to reveal himself. He was going to step over into not just a human vessel. Now we got to keep that till we get on down here on the other side, all right? He chose to step over in the form of the Logos, the Theophany, the things that we use those great big words for. The Word. And called a Son of God. Because what else could you call him? It's not God the Son. That's Trinitarianism. He was a Son of God. He chose to step over in a way that he could start breaking him... Breaking, what's that word? A way that he could reveal himself. He had a plan and a purpose, remember, that he was going to see achieved, that he was going to reveal himself. See, we keep on trying to get ourselves here involved too much until we get to the right place. But you see, then when he stepped over into word form, that was his choice. And in that word form, which as I said is not a human body, you know, not a mortal, not a 16 elements. It was the word body. Right? Now here's where, as I said this morning, see, we get in there in our thoughts. Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown said, we bypassed our theophany. Okay. He stood there in a word form. You know. What did he look like? I told you what I liked about that passion play that time. And never seen it again in one because they said it was copyrighted. But, you know, we generally look, it's like just like a vapor and things of the creation, you know, and it's just like, let there be, you know. It's a coming to be. And well, it just made a point that stuck with me. And it just started out a voice saying, let there be, and all at once, here stood a man. A man standing there. Let there be. Let there be. All right? It changed scenes, you know where it went? To a baby crying in a cradle, and that's where they started the story. I shouted. Because you know what? The man that was standing there saying, let there be, was the man that stood down there at 33 years of age, or about 30, see, that began to perform the acts of the Lord Jesus upon the earth. Well, that was perfectly identical. Maybe they didn't even know what they're doing, but I had a good time. Because to me, see, when that word form stood out there, we didn't stand out there beside of him. You know. But if we wasn't in him, now how many quotes do you want? Brother Brown said, if we wasn't in him, if we wasn't back there in the beginning as the Word, we will never be the Word. So where we're at? In him. Now do you see the scripture? We were chosen in him. Now, wait just a minute. That means we don't have a choice. The one I'm talking about don't want a choice. It ain't whether I've got it or not. I don't want it. Did Jesus have a choice? Now, come on. Get what I'm saying. Don't go over here in your mind, run it to the garden. Lord, let this pass from me. No, don't go there. Because he wound up saying, nevertheless, get it over with. Do we say he yielded up his desires, his choice, his thing? That's over there. That's down here in time. Get back here where I'm at. Did Jesus have a choice? Did he look around and pick out, you look like one, I'll just step over in you. No. That was Almighty God. Or else you're Trinitarian. That Creator God was Almighty God in another form. Or else we're Trinitarians. So then when he was chosen to be what he was, that's sealed language, see. You can trap me in those words, see, because I don't have enough education. But when he was chosen to be what he was, if we wasn't there in him, we will never have eternal life. Other than God giving it to us. Somewhere as a foolish virgin, etc., etc., because they're not nobody in there. The ones I'm talking about is exactly what he done on the day of Pentecost. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? We're still looking at it as a God in a church, God in a church, God in a bride, God, we want to change the words. On the day of Pentecost, God divided himself. Right? He divided himself. He put in flesh. What was back there? So when he was chosen, I was chosen in him. I didn't make a choice. Amen. You're still over here trying to figure out the choice. Just get away from the choice. Get away to see what I'm talking about. Who was the one? Somebody, if the Bible's right, it said we were chosen in him. Somebody done the choosing. But if we were chosen in him, then we were chosen in him, not by him. As I said, you come down to foreknowledges and things, and you look at it, and you look like, well, I made a choice, and I done this, and I done that. That's over here. But there was never a choice. Jesus never had a choice of whether he was going to be God or not. He never had a choice of whether what he was going to be. On the quotes you got, unconditional covenant, 1954:306, paragraph E or E29. The father Abraham was the first one that I know of this side of the flood that was called by grace. Top of the page. See? By election. God chose Abraham not because he was Abraham. Not because he was any good person. God chose him because he was elected. God did it. I thought we believed that Abraham got an unconditional covenant. If you could do anything, the prophet said, to save yourself or not do anything, he said, then show me where grace is at. Because grace is unmerited favor. You never done anything to get it. Okay, look. Life story, 1954:314. Well, we could take much time on that, but just to show you that it's truth, Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. So man don't seek God, God seeks him. God calls men by election. See? Foreknowledge of God, Now remember, this is away from the tabernacle, so he's having to not get so deep with it, right? God seeks man. God calls men by election, see? For foreknowledge of God, like when Jesus, when he was born, he was the Son of God. He couldn't help because he was the Son of God. Now you wondered about my wording, see? I said he didn't have a choice. He couldn't help. When he was born, he was the Son of God. He couldn't help because he was the Son of God. He was foreordained the Son of God. Before the world began, he was the Son of God. And he was the woman's seed from the Garden of Eden that was to bruise the serpent's head. He had nothing to do with it. It was already planned out. When Moses was born, he was a proper child. Not because he was Moses, not because he had done something, but because God chose him before he was born. Okay? Be of good cheer. 1954, 7:21. When Jesus, he was a Son of God, all the way from the Garden of Eden to woman's seed. Is that right? Moses, when he was born, he couldn't help because he never made himself Moses. When he was born, he was a proper child. God raised him up. And John the Baptist, 712 years before he was born, the prophet Isaiah saw him and said, he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He had nothing to do about being the forerunner of Christ. God chose him before the foundation of the world to be the forerunner of Christ. I believe it was God told Jeremiah, before you even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Is that right? Before he was ever formed in his mother's womb. See, who taking thought can add cubit to his stature? Now, if you're getting what I'm saying, it was not Jesus, a human flesh, that stepped out back there in God. Now remember, we say this is just in the mind of God. But remember, the mind of God is what brought all of this we see to pass. So let's don't make this greater than what his mind was. He had a plan and a purpose. He was going, the prophet said, to see it achieved. So then God chose to just step over in another form, called the Christ, called the Word, the Theophany, the Logos, the things the prophet has covered with us. The Son of God, as he called him. See, we take Son of God coming on earth 2,000 years ago. No, the Son of God was the Word, the Logos that came out of God. Because what else are you going to call it? Because it was God in another form called a Son. Who was Jesus? God in another form. We call it a Son. But he was God. He didn't say, I'm a Son of God. He said, I'm God. Lest you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. So then, when God stepped over in another form, there's eternal life. There's the Word. As I said a moment ago, we bypass the word form. Amen. To stand there with him as peoples. But we were in him, or we will never be in him, and we'll never have eternal life as a child of God. Now, there's what we want to deal with. Brother Branham says we're part of him. Right? If you ain't part of God, you don't have eternal life. What does it mean to be a part of God? Well, there's parts. No. You run out of parts, as Brother Mo said about the apple. You cut it up, you're going to run out of parts. Don't do that. On the day of Pentecost, God came down and expanded himself. There is no form called in the Old Testament except Adam. Adam was called a son of God. Nobody else was called a son of God. Right? Why? Because they've lost. They fail. See, then Jesus come to be the Son of God, which was the beginning of the creation of God. Right? That when God would come down into human flesh in the womb of a virgin and provide a body and step into that body and be Almighty God standing there upon the earth. Oh, Brother Dale, your oneness. Oh, I love it then. See? This is the kind of oneness I love. Because the bride's got to be the part of God to be made manifest upon the earth. And we're not another God. We're not another person. That new birth you have in you is God.
Amen.
In the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The prophet said, quote, when all of that is give out. You want that quote? When all of that of God is give out. In other words, when all of the pieces of God goes out, you're going to have God completely done. Brother Branham said the Godhead is not even complete without you. See, I am not talking about a bride being a second person or something by God, you know, God making something by Him like that. It's not that, it's in. We were in God or we'll never be in God. And when He stepped out in that word form, we was in that word form right there in Him. Here's where it's at. See, when He came on earth, we came in Him.
Amen.
But you know what they do it today? They preach it that He came in us. That's not right. Oh yeah, buy the new birth, bring it on down. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But I know what they're talking about. See? We came in Him. He didn't come in us.
Right.
That would give us eternal life without Calvary.
Right.
Eve was in Adam.
Come on, brother.
Adam wasn't in Eve.
Right.
The bride is in Christ. That way we're one. That is true oneness. So when He was chosen, I was chosen. When He was chosen to be what He was chosen to be there too. He said, then that's God being a respecter of persons. Okay now. We can't believe that God's a respecter of persons, right? So there must be some conceivable way of understanding that He's not a respecter of persons. And I hope it's what you just heard me say. He never chose to be what He was. He was just what He was. You didn't choose to be a Christian, Brother Collie. You wasn't seeking God. Now come on, you was in the bases. We're human. We're on the side. Okay, we covered that this morning. You were praying. You were doing, but what was it? God was trying to run you down. Right? We wasn't seeking God. It was God seeking us. The goodness of God, the scripture says, lead us to repentance. He was trying to chase us down. We thought we were trying to chase Him. We just got in the way. But we done what we thought was right. The Holy Ghost never came on the day of Pentecost because the 120 was so perfect. They were just there. They believed God's word. And they stood there. What good thing did you do to be saved? Wasn't that what was asked of one of the disciples there? What good thing, or asked of Jesus, what good thing? And Jesus said, do this. And He said, I've done every bit of it. And the Bible said He looked at him and He loved him because He knew he was right. He said, one thing to hit him. What? Sell what you got and give it to the poor. Now, like I've always said, if he'd have said, You have $10 million. Go give a couple of million, and I'll give you eternal life. The old fellow said, hey, give me the... He'd have pulled his billfold out, flopped it down, went on. No. But when he put it on the basis, just give it. Get away from the thoughts of money and come and follow me. Would not he have made him a fisher of men just like the rest of them were made? He would have given him a job. But see, his riches was too much. He couldn't give up his riches. So you see it today. People can't give up their riches. See, then when Jesus come in this world, I thought we believed what the prophet said. He said we was in him. He said we was in him when he walked the shores of Galilee. Well, now was we little bitty people running around in the body. You get over because you're in my spot. That's what the kids used to do. We'd be riding down the highway. Daddy, he's getting too close to me. He looks like he might be thinking about moving over here. Now, I know your kids don't do that. No. But you see, he and he alone has eternal life. And the only way we can have eternal life is to receive eternal life. Right? So we step across that bar that we draw time and we get over here. And we begin to feel a pull in our heart and, you know, that something's just not right. We're sinners. We're sorry for about being that way. And we begin to say, Lord, forgive me. We start going to church. We start trying to be better. We start doing this, that, and the other. And that's all well and good. Because God is looking at that. He loves that. He sees that at least you're trying. This ain't no haphazard layback. That's bad. That's Catholic Church now, remember? They said that God struck Paul down to give him eternal life. He made him take it. So it was better to force people to serve God, you know, than it was to not serve him at all. So they beat him into doing it, and they killed him, and made him confessions. See, that was their thoughts. But surely that's not our thoughts. So now we come over onto this side, and we have a lot of things involved in. We don't realize these things of foreknowledge, predestination, choosing, a name on the book, justification, plan of God, plan and purpose. We don't know. We don't have none of that involved because we're lost. Now, we may have a knowledge of it because we sit in church and may still be lost and have heard those things. But get to point what I'm saying. We begin to feel a little bit and we feel like that, you know, and Brother Brown said, ever human mortal. Come on. Are you going to amen or are you going to sit there? Every human mortal had the same pool. He said, even the Hottentot who's never heard of God, he knows there is a God. Come on. He has a desire in his heart. But he's not part of God's plan and purpose. Only his family is a part of his plan and purpose. The rest is people that will be foolish virgins and Jews and different things. And will be given eternal life. We're not talking about giving eternal life. We're talking about receiving eternal life here. So then we cry and pray and long and we choose him. We choose to go to church. We choose to do better. And he looks down and he says, good. He sure don't want us to act like the devil's children. And then him come down one day, pop, pop, you got to be saved, whether you want it or not. No, he didn't do that. He put us over here. Now we've got an opportunity to accept him as our Savior. If we don't do that, then he's not obligated. Well, what do you mean? He saw me get eternal life, I'm going to get it. He saw that attitude you just had. He saw that statement you just made. He saw that thought you injected. and he knew you wouldn't write. That wasn't his child. What's God's child to be? What's God's child to be? Father, I love you. I'm sorry. I haven't been your child. I haven't acted like I needed to act. I haven't had the right attitude. I've not done right. I've been out in the world. Forgive me. Forgive me. Give me an opportunity, and I'll serve you. Right? See, God does look at those things, because that has to do with your existence upon earth. But if we wasn't back there chosen, you won't be chosen to be bride. That's why the Bible says, many are called, a few are chosen. The chosen is the ones that was in chosen in Him. To the, everybody that confesses and things like that and prays will not get eternal life. But now He will not override your free moral agency. He gave you that. You must start, some work must be started here within us, crying and praying and seeking after Him. And then when it does, then He can come on the scene and give us eternal life. We're not concerned about all these other things, seals, plagues, trumpets, vials, the end time messages, whatever. We're just concerned with, Father, forgive me. I love you. You ever tell Him that? Tell Him every day. He loves to hear it. Brother Perry Green said, Brother Brown told him, said, Brother Perry said, when you feel Him close, he said, you tell Him that Brother Brown loves Him. See, when you feel Him close to you, you tell Him that Brother Brown loves Him. He loved God, didn't he? Why? Because he was a child of God. He had a lot of life that he went through because of the choices he made. But Danny Henry, the tongues and interpretation, because of this choice, a great portion of heaven's going to wait. We're going to get rewards for things that we do in this world. Not that we want it. Not that we want it. If they come up today and said, your dad, Sam, when he died, he owned this company and he forgot to tell anybody about it. So now there's millions of dollars laying there in this company, and we're going to give all the children millions of dollars because you're his children. Would that make me any more his child? Oh, I'd love him then. Yeah, that's the way we are, ain't it? Man, I'd really fall in love with him then. I didn't like him to start with. But I'd really love him then. I didn't like him when he's correcting me, but I'd really love him if he gave me all his money. No, yes, well, that ain't a child. I'm a child of Sam Dale, regardless of whatever takes place or goes with the name. Nothing will ever change that. And if they told me right today, said, well, you're wrong, you was adopted, and we're going to tell you your name is McGillicuddy, you was adopted, and we'll give you the right to go back to McGillicuddy, and you can have all the McGillicuddy inheritance, I would not change. How many of you would change your name to get millions of dollars? Oh, you're dumb and stupid. I'll agree with you. I am. But I am a child of God, and I won't deny my Father. I know who my Father is. Because this is a kingdom. This is not a natural life of what. I'll just keep what I am. But see, then if we go through life, we begin to learn about predestination. We begin to learn about foreknowledge. And that foreknowledge is that God foreknew. And He would predestinate because He foreknew. I'm beginning to feel pretty good because I did have something to do with it. Not with saving myself. God save me. But the choices I make in life shows whose father that I'm a son of. I thought adoption was to glorify the Father. I didn't know it was to glorify me and you. I've tried my best to tell you that. Everybody thinks adoption is the son, father going off the scene, the son coming on. I don't agree with that. I never have since I come in the message. I've always taught it, and you know it. adoption to me is the Son going off the scene and the Father being lifted up. Let me lift up my Father.
Amen.
See? I don't have to worry about it. Then He'll lift me up. But are you listening? We come to glorification. We find out, hey, that was back yonder. Justification was back there. We're learning the mechanical side over here. We're seeing the plan of view of God come into view here. Because without this, there would be no plan. This is the plan. This is the part that we're to come here and become His children. We become the Word here as we receive the Word. And that's why we want the Word. We receive it. Why? Because it's our Father's Word. All right. We see the plan and the purpose. We're on this side. We're beginning to look at things on the side of life because we realize we were chosen in Him. Now, we won't have questions today, but write them down for Wednesday if you want to. And we'll try to cover them because I realize that in what I'm trying to speak that I leave loopholes and things for people to where they can do and things like that. But if you need anything about whether we're divided, let's see. I'm hunting one specific one. Forgive me for a second. The message called Conference in 1963, 608. He's talking about how they come down to tongues of fire. And not. Said, we ought to be ashamed to let our organizations divide us when God divided Himself among us that we might be one. You don't have that now, so don't look for the quote. God divided Himself among us that we might be one. That's something, isn't it? I thought we believed that we were many members of one body. All right? This will all men know that you're my disciples. Do you hear that, brother and sister? God divided Himself. We're never divided one another because we're parts of God. We're parts of God. He divided Himself in that you become a part of God, and if God divided Himself in that great pillar of fire, and those little licks went out over each one of those persons, He said. What happened on the day of Pentecost? It went out over the persons. But it was one pillar of fire. There's just one God. We're the last form of God upon the earth is the bride of Jesus Christ. How many years have I taught you that? 30? We're the last amorphy of God to the Gentile dispensation, which means we are the last form of God. Then we are not children of Jesus, who was a child of God. That makes you a grandchild. We are children of the Christ that makes us the children of God. We are a part of that Christ. We are the children of God. We're the offspring of God. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Brother Brown said it, and we are the rest of that creation. When are we going to believe it? You see then, Job, where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Job may not know that answer, but I do. I was there as that eternal life, not nothing else, not persons, souls, identities, this, that, and the other. I was there as that part of eternal life that was in Him. And I saw the plan of redemption. Let me say another word, then, that you can do. If Jesus was Almighty God, the Christ, then truly He would look down through and know back before the world now. And His submission would be to the cross and the things because He chose to do it. He was chosen to be the sacrifice. because of his own choosing. Then we chose not Mormon doctrine. I know the doctrine. I know the two-soul doctrine. I know what they're talking about. I don't believe it, but I know it. We chose to come into the world. We shouted for joy. We that have eternal life today shouted for joy. Not as people running around, glory, hallelujah, shouting, and you was over in your corner, and I was over in my corner, and we was all over here. No, it was in Christ. Bottled up in that one word form. But we chose. Because the Mormon doctrine is that we were all up in heaven as people, and that we wanted to glorify our Father. It's pretty close. It's pretty good going, really, on a lot, and especially the people this message, what they believe. But we chose. Now, I know this because I spent 8 hours with one man that was an authority and let him explain it to me. I didn't pick the first ranks. I pointed a guy with the, and as a matter of fact, he had that signet that some of you, if any Mormon would know, he had the signets, he knew, because you can't, in the Mormons, you can't have more than one wife. Everybody can't have more than one wife in the Mormon doctrine. Never was there. It was only the authority people. Only the Melchizedek priesthood. Go ask one, find out about it. The Melchizedek priesthood was allowed more than one wife. All right. So I asked him to explain it. He said, we were people up in heaven. And we wanted to honor our Father. And said, by doing that, said, we decided to come to earth and be lost, so we could glorify our Father. He said, Satan had a plan to save everybody. Now, this is their doctrine. But said, Jesus had a plan to just save so many. And said, Father accepted Jesus' plan, and that's what made the devil mad and caused him to become the devil. That's their doctrine now, folks. But you see, if Job is right, and if the prophet is right that said it was when we saw the plan of redemption come into view, then we knew in that form of what we were as eternal, we knew we was coming to earth. He said, boy, you sure don't understand foreknowledges and things. Okay. I may not. But I understand eternal life. That's why Brother Branham said, if you have eternal life, you was not saved on no certain day. You were always saved. You was never lost. Who was never lost? The Christ. The eternal life. The Christ was never lost. And always eternal. But you see, for my Father could have it displayed, then we come over to this side of the line and we become human mortals. He knew who would be saved and who wouldn't. But he also knew that there'd be a lot more people in heaven because you and I would come this way. Right? Foolish virgins and people like that's going to be in heaven. They're going to be given eternal life. A lot of people are going to be given eternal life for being good to you. Right? But you see, we are part of the Christ. We are the offspring of God, as Paul said on Mars Hill. He said, even as your poets have said, we are the offspring of God. The offspring of God are not children of God that are children like that. It's God in another form called a child. See? And we go back. We're going to see Jesus. But we're going to realize he was Almighty God. That's what I'm talking about. Let's stand. I hope you understand. Sorry being a little lengthy this afternoon, but I kind of got to the bases of, come on, musician. I got to the bases wondering about whether or not to quit preaching a lot of times to you, because we go outside. Last Sunday we went outside and it was 5 o'clock or 5:30. We got out there at 4 and it was 5:30 before anybody left. I thought, my Lord, I could preach another hour and a half. Yeah. I mean, this, you know, but we don't want to do that, because the mind can only comprehend what the bottom can endure. So that's a pretty good statement. You know, you get tired and wore out, then you don't understand. But go home, listen to the tapes. You see anything I'm wrong on, come to me. Don't go to everybody else now. Do me a favor and come to me and talk to me about it and say, I don't agree with you. You'll find out I ain't going to argue with you or get mad at you and stomp at you and run to the pulpit and, Brother Dick told me I was wrong. I want to know, you know, I'll tell you what now, boy. You know, that's the way people do. That's the way preachers do, trying to scare the congregation into submission. I want you to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. And you know what? You can't never hate me. Like I've always told you, if I've got your soul in my possession, you may not have to worry about money. If your soul is in my hands. But see, well, everybody else wants the money first. They don't worry about the soul. They just want the money. But that's all right. That's their business. You know how I live and what I do. Most of you make more money than I do. And it's because of my choice. Yeah. But you know, sometimes choices has to do with it. Wade gave up more money per week than most of you make in a week, and that some of you make in a month, to go from plant manager to cutting grass. Because he wanted it that way. A few years ago, I cut my salary $200 a week just because I didn't need it. You don't need it? Give it to me. Well, I don't need it. What I mean by that is I got enough to live on. Why are you going to pack up all of it in the bank? Now, there's nothing. We're not going to go out and empty. I hope nobody with all of this problems with the government fixing to go busted. It'd be sensible to go buy you a few extra groceries and all like that. You always need to have that. But don't go draw out all your money and stick it in your pocket. Because if the government goes busted, the money in your pocket is not worth anything. It's toilet paper. Right? See? Everybody gets all excited. Maybe this will be what will put us in the rapture. No, the revealed word is going to put us in the rapture when we realize who we are. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
252 in the red book.
252 in the red book. Anybody have a need?
Everybody knows the first verse.
On that hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the end with my suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest in that for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll check the old rugged. There's where he brought me from. That spirit inside brought that bride out of his body. Right? We were bottled up in him. And it brought us out. Not out of it. Not the blood, not the things that came out. It brought us to a place at Calvary. Would be displayed on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost would come down. Those disciples were scared to death and running all over the place. But when that Holy Ghost came, that ended that. Realize who we are. I never chose him. He chose me. He run me down. You heard me tell it. I told my wife that Wade would be preaching the gospel, standing beside of me in this pulpit when he was still out in the world. I never went and told him. When he came to the Lord, I didn't go tell him God called him to preach. 6 months later, he come and he said, "Daddy, I want to talk to me." I said, "You don't want to talk to me. I'm not the daddy you need to talk to." He said, "Do you know what I'm talking about?" I said, "Yes, sirree." I said, "Go ask your mother." He said, "God done showed me where you'd be." I said, "But now, son, we're not going to announce Sunday that you're called to preach." What? I said, "Run. Run, son, until he runs you down." Because the prophet said, God can't use anybody that volunteers. Run till he runs you down. And you can't run no further than accept it. It was nearly 6 months later, he come and said, "Daddy, I can't go no further." I said, "Okay, you're preaching Sunday. That'll be your first sermon." You say, "Well, I just do that." No, no, we don't do that in God. I want God to be the one. I love to be able to look back at the Bible and just see it. What about the prodigal son that went away? You said, "There it was. Wade went away." But you know, there's another in the story. There's another son that was in the story that never left the father. Back there he stands. He never left. He's been here ever since the beginning. See, there's the prodigal son. We need all of the story. I love to look in the Bible and find myself in there. Just because my name is Samuel, I don't go by that. But you know, it is odd that Samuel's mother was named Hannah. And Samuel was a child of old age. She was real old. My mother was 42 or 40 at least, somewhere right in there. My daddy was 65 when I was conceived. Hannah had a son named Samuel. But see, that don't make me anything. It's just good things that I like to see along the way. How many of you can relate to what David? Why don't you put yourself in the Bible sometimes? Why don't you women, men, whatever, put yourself in there? He said to David, he said, "I took you from the sheep fold or what it was. He said, I made you king." He said, "I took you from handling a handful of little old sheep, stinking animals, and made you king." How many of us can look back in our lives? When me and my wife got married, 60, it'll be 53 years, 52, is it 52 coming up? I was thinking 53. When we got married, I was making $42 a week. Paying for a car, paying rent, paying for light bill, telephone bill. I mean, I don't have telephone, couldn't afford it. I look at that sometime and I say, "God, look what you've done." My wife would take $2 or $3.
because it's all we had. They'd buy our food for a week and plan every meal. She'd be in the grocery store. We'll have this Monday night, this Tuesday night, this Wednesday night, this Thursday night. She made the kids' clothes, even made me suits. But he said, I took you from a poor old country boy plowing a mule at 7 years old in a field. That made you a preacher of the gospel. I don't have everything in the world, no, but I got a good home, I got a good car, I got good things around me, I got good clothes. Why can't you think about yourself like that? Some of you was never what we would call poor. But look what God's made out of you. Give you a good living. But most of all, gave you eternal life. And brought you into the message of the hour. Why don't you think about yourself like that? I listen to these that are singing and things, and I hear them, and I hear them singing wonderful, beautiful voices that could have been sold to the world. With a little training to your voice, you would be singing with the world as music of their worldly music. But instead of that, you give it to God. You hear beautiful music. Why don't we realize what God done for us? Oh, it's good. Anybody have a need? God lifted me. Souls in danger. Who are you? We're the offspring of God. We're His children. I didn't have time to finish. Brother Ray, did you choose to be the child of your father? Oh, you didn't have to do it, did you? Come on. Danny, did you choose to be the daddy of your children? Oh, you say, yeah, me and Joyce got together. Who ordained it? What about it? You didn't choose to be what you are. God told you we're just living out His choice. For a job. Oh, okay. Our sister is going tomorrow for her citizenship test. That's not fun. I've never read it, but I hear it's pretty rough. If they asked me right now who was the second president of the United States, I wouldn't know, would you? The first one was George Washington, but that's all I know. So let's just pray that her mind will be clear and she can give all of the right answers. To be that part, that she'll give the answer to become a citizen of this country. Church, we don't talk to maybe some of our sisters, Sister Melka and them, and some of them come from pretty, well-to-do families and forms. But they still know that it's not like being in America. It's not like air conditions and food and cars. It's something to be wanting to be a citizen of this country. We were just born that way, and we don't value it. But just pray for her sister. We're going to give her a prayer cloth. We want her to put it. Take it, sister. And you put it underneath your watch or somewhere. My wife, Danny, remember? Danny had his under his thing. We took a piece of tape and put a prayer cloth under my wife's armband thing that they had on her with a name on it. See, because I believe in it. Put this somewhere on you where it'll be with you tomorrow, okay? Lord Jesus, give our sister all the right answers. You just be there with her, Father. And you bring to her remembrance the things that she has studied
and prepared to answer, because she wants to be a citizen of this country. We love you, Father, and we thank you. We thank you that she is already that citizen of another she's of another country and another group of people, because she's of the family of God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else that have a need before we go? And nothing else could have lovely. Love lifted me. Father, we send this prayer cloth for this person. We believe that when they receive it, we believe the product is already finished of Calvary. Now just transmit that down to this one that our sister is asking for. And let it be, Lord, that all would be well, and it'll say that she does not have this cancer, that it's all gone. Because we believe you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Else could have love lifted me. Now just remember that if you want the books, the Jorgensen books, tapes, whatever, you got to get with Lisa. Let her know. We can get it all together on a form, write it, or either get with somebody that knows the addresses and the things. And all. And there is a thing that we're going to order. It's like one for the whole church to kind of go through it. It's kind of a testimony, because none of us, I don't know who Brother Jorgensen was or is or whatever. I know nothing about him. And, you know, he's going to give his own personal testimony. So, you know, he's done a good job, I think, of putting together about the prophet and the ministry and the thing, and without trying to inject a doctrinal. I watched that real carefully in this last one, that, you know, because I knew it was going to be about the things of the prophet in the last days and his ministry at the ending. And I watched it very carefully. I didn't find anything that he tried to inject his own thoughts. Maybe some things he said was to where that you would wonder where he got it. But if you look out at the end, it's got a little dot, shows you where he got it from. So you can look it up to see if Brother Randall really said that. You know, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good reading and everything. And so, you know, if you don't want to read it, they got it where you can listen to them now. And that's a great thing. Amen. Let's just pray and be dismissed. Remember the services Wednesday night. Remember waiting them on the way home. It's thundering outside. I pray to God that it's raining, because we need rain. So let's just thank God for the rain and for protection and everything, and just let the Lord have his way. Father, we thank you for today. We pray that what we've said has been acceptable in thy sight. If not, bring it to our attention. We'll correct it. We'll repent. We'll go on, because we believe you, Father. We just want our Father to be made manifest. We pray that, Lord, we all here in this building, with the new birth, we have the same Father. So then we can talk to one another about our Father and really enjoy hearing what he has to say to each other. We love you. Bless waiting them on the way home. It's probably raining and things. Take care of all of them. Take care of all of the children that's there, the hundreds that are at the camp. And give everybody a safe journey. Let your love be with us. We need your rain, Lord, to come on the natural things of the land. And we thank you for all of it. And the spiritual rain is what we need. Because as I tried to say this morning, I believe, Father, that the former rain is sown down in our hearts about a lot of things that we need. Now it's time for the latter rain to come and speak to us, because it's sown to where that it can come up now. And Lord, we believe you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take care of everybody on the way home.